Matthew chapter 6, we can read again the final few verses from verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To stand at the edge of a new year, perhaps you look forward with confidence and with expectation. Perhaps you look forward with concern and apprehension. You will have some thought as to what this year will hold. And it may be something that thrills you, or it may be something that fills you with fear and with dread. It may be a mixture of these emotions. There is, of course, uncertainty as to what the year will hold. But often, almost always, we have some idea of what to expect, and we maybe prepare ourselves for that. But as you look back upon a year that is gone, how much time did you spend anticipating and preparing and perhaps worrying for something that never occurred? How much time was consumed preparing for a tomorrow that never arrived? You know, there's some who are naturally optimistic and are not easily worried, whereas others seem to be almost always overwhelmed and fearful. And psychologists would perhaps explain these character traits through different life experiences. But regardless, here is a command in God's word to you. Whether you are naturally optimistic, whether you are pessimistic, whether you are naturally confident, whether you are anxious, the command of our Lord, as he speaks here in the Sermon on the Mount, as he addresses the multitudes that are around him, he says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a repeated expression in this passage from verse 25 to verse 34. Take no thought. And that could be translated, be not anxious. It doesn't mean do not recognize or give no thought to what is possible to come, but rather don't be anxious about what may come. Be not anxious for tomorrow. What's our Lord saying to us? How can we apply this passage to ourselves today? Well, it's a warning about living with distraction. Questions about what to eat or what to drink or what to wear, in a sense, they're emblematic of the whole of life. That's not an exhaustive list, but rather it is a sample of the sort of questions that are likely to occupy us. What's going to happen next? What am I going to do tomorrow? How will I feel tomorrow? Where will I find satisfaction tomorrow? Where will I find security tomorrow? And there's a temptation to spend all of today preparing for tomorrow, trying to arrange and to control so that we might protect ourselves, we might make ourselves secure, so that we might succeed. And that's maybe understandable when we live in a broken world and there's so many things that can go wrong. There's so many troubles that can press in upon us. But how much time and energy and joy are consumed as your mind runs through all these scenarios of what tomorrow might bring and how tomorrow will be and what you must do and what you must expect and how you must respond? How many sleepless nights do you have you had? How many distracted days have you had? How many empty days have there been because you've been caught up in worrying about what tomorrow will bring because of anxiety? This anxiety is a distraction. It's a distraction that takes us away from the reality of today. So you look back and maybe you see that all your todays have been overshadowed by the fear of tomorrow. You know what it's like when you have to make a decision. You want to make the right decision. Maybe you need to make a purchase. And because you've got access to the internet, there's a limitless array of options. And you want to make the right one and get the best deal. You don't want to spend more. You don't want to get something that will let you down. And so you look at reviews and you look at options and you look at different sites and different sellers. And you're just overwhelmed by all that choice. It's like you're given all the potential, and yet all the potential that you're given is the very thing that drives you to distraction. You find yourself anxious. What if I take a wrong step? What if I take a wrong move? What if I get it wrong? And it's like a train of thought. And as the train travels along, there's carriage after carriage which is pulled in succession. And it's as though you've been driven down an impossible labyrinth. And you feel increasingly exposed and vulnerable. You torment yourself, perhaps, with scenario after scenario. What if? What if? And that playing out of scenarios in your mind, do you know why that leaves you exhausted? Do you know why that leaves you feeling anxious? Do you know why that robs you of joy? Do you know why that spoils today? It's because as you live through these scenarios in your mind, you're expressing real emotion. So it's not simply an intellectual exercise. But it's an exercise that absorbs all of your energies. It becomes a physical thing. It brings a physical tiredness. So when our Lord is saying, therefore take no thought, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed, he says, don't be anxious about the details of tomorrow. Don't live your life distracted from the reality of now. It's interesting, isn't it? In verse 27, it says, which of you, by taking thought, which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit unto his stature? And if you look at the original language, that could say, which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit, one measure, to your size in terms of your height? Or it may be translated, which of you, by being anxious, can add one measure to the length of your life? And in both scenarios, the answer is the same. Of course, you can't make yourself taller. Children, you can't lie in your bed and decide to grow tonight. Now you do grow because you're children, and children grow, but you can't make yourself grow by thinking about it. And you can't make yourself shorter, and you can't extend your life. Anxiety will not extend your life, but the irony is, you can worry yourself into an early grave. Anxiety can shorten your life. Anxiety can shorten your life in terms of length. But anxiety can shorten your length, your life in terms of size. Because when you're anxious, you're pressed down. You're stooped over because you're carrying the burden of all these what-ifs. And it's wearying. And it betrays and it nurtures a lack of faith in God. Anxiety about tomorrow betrays and nurtures a lack of faith in God. Do you know how it nurtures a lack of faith of God in God? It does so because you're learning the habit of depending upon yourself. It may not be that you've forgotten God absolutely, but at that point, you're not focusing upon God. At that point, you're not feeding faith, but rather undermining faith. You're not considering His greatness. Rather, you're considering your own ability, and you're telling yourself it depends upon your ability to prepare for tomorrow. And so, in terms of Christian discipleship, you're holding back by holding on to what you cannot hold because you don't have tomorrow. Tomorrow is not in your hand. And so it's madness to try to work tomorrow, to control tomorrow, to organize tomorrow, to be anxious about tomorrow when it's not in your hand. You never have tomorrow. You only have now. You can't deal with tomorrow's trials today because you don't have tomorrow's grace, Christian friend. Now the Lord has promised to give grace sufficient for the day. The Lord has promised to watch over and to keep and to protect. But grace is given daily. And you don't have tomorrow's grace. And so you need not fear tomorrow's troubles. You cannot live tomorrow today. You cannot live tomorrow today. The biblical order is today and then tomorrow. Today and then tomorrow. It's interesting if you see the adverts that come up in the media. For so long, they've been about what you may buy, the things you may get. Because if you buy this and you buy that, you will either make yourself happy or make someone else happy. And if you make someone else happy, they'll make you happy. So happiness is to be found in getting stuff. But recently, once it became too late to buy stuff in order to give as gifts, the adverts changed. And what did the adverts change to? They've changed, by and large, to holidays. Or perhaps house renovation. And the idea is that because you've not found that total satisfaction in the stuff that you get for yourself, or that stuff that you get to give to others to make yourself feel better, that what you need to do to make yourself better is to organise your tomorrow, to organise the trip of a lifetime, to organise the perfect house, to sort your environment, to sort all your dreams. All these adverts are encouraging you to live in the realm of escapism. To escape from the reality of today by imagining the wonderful tomorrows you may have. But what does our Lord say? He doesn't say escape the reality of today by living in a dream for tomorrow. He's saying here, don't live with distraction. Now, preparing for tomorrow is legitimate. I need to say that. Preparing for tomorrow is appropriate. It's those who are absolutely thoughtless about today and tomorrow who are a liability upon society. It is right to sow seed in order that you might reap corn, that you might gather harvest. It may be honouring to God for you to build bigger barns. The episode in the scriptures where we're told about the fool who built bigger barns. Well, that man was a fool not because of building the barns. He was a fool because he trusted in his own provision. And he gave no thought to the things of God. Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, said, he re-emphasized what he'd said before, actually. He said, even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, it's right to work and to prepare and to lay aside that you may eat and enjoy and live. It's not wrong to purchase insurance for your car or for your house, for your life, medical insurance, travel insurance. It's not wrong to set aside for tomorrow. But you must also set aside tomorrow. That's the point. You're not to consume your today with anxiety of tomorrow. Think of the words of the Psalm 127. 'Tis vain for you to rise betimes or late from rest to keep, to feed on sorrow's bread. So gives he his beloved sleep. It's pointless for you to get up too early. It's pointless for you to stay out of bed too late. It's pointless for you to make yourself miserable in trying to do it all yourself, but rather trust in God and go to bed and sleep. Now maybe the injunction, be not anxious. Take no thought. Maybe that, in a sense, adds to your burden, your stress, because you already know this. You say, Minister, I know this. I am stressed. I am anxious. I am distracted. But I don't know how to deal with this. Well, the Lord addresses that here. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these, all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're not to live with distraction, you're to live with devotion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Catechism would summarize it in this way. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now, Romans tells us that the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So why does it distinguish here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? And I think the answer to that question is to emphasize that the kingdom of God is not an alternative reality distinct from this life. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is to shape and form, to regulate this life now. It is future, but it is also present. And you Christian friends are a pilgrim, and this is your calling. To live with devotion, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. See, it's not wrong to be concerned, to be aware of, and to make provision for tomorrow, but you're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these other things in their place, following on. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It means to seek the advance of the reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. To pursue salvation. To see the church established. To see the world brought under the dominion of the Saviour. And to do so for yourself, but also for others. To seek first his kingdom, the advance of the reign and the rule of Christ. Rather than being scared of tomorrow, you are to serve the Saviour today. You know, so much of society is taken up with people living remotely on social media. And people may be so consumed by social media that they have little room for the reality of life around them. And maybe you know people who promote themselves and present them in such themselves in such a way that is really far removed from the reality of their lives. Well, that sort of mentality may be caught with that sort of mentality ourselves, living with distraction and not living with devotion. Maybe you say that I can't take on anything else. I'm overwhelmed. But what we're being told here is to replace anxiety with the advance of the gospel. This is to be your priority. The Saviour said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Seek first the kingdom of God." Seek first the kingdom of God. We're speaking about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has shown his love to you, the one who has shown his grace, the one who knows you personally, the one who calls you as an individual and has bound himself to you in the gospel, the one who's instructed his angels concerning you, that they might be ministers to the heirs of salvation. The Lord will deal with the little things. The Lord will deal with the detail. You are to seek him. You are to draw near to him. He is able to work in and through the poor and the weak. Maybe you're concerned as you think of your own spiritual state. You're concerned as you think of the state of the nation. You're concerned when you think of the state of the church. Maybe you look around and you see small congregations, vacant congregations, no minister, no prospect of a minister. You see how few men there are coming forward. How few there are. Friends, the Lord says to you today, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You are to seek after him. And there may not be all of those around you that you would like. And there may not be those to lead you that you would like. But you are to seek him, and he is around you, and he is leading you, for he is drawing you to himself. You're to be active, you're to be striving, you're to draw near to him, you're not to stand still. The temptation in Christian life, isn't it, is to sort of stand still, is to hold back, is to hold on. It's that kind of siege mentality where you're overwhelmed by all that you see and you just want to endure. But the call of the Christian life isn't to endurance in a corner. It's not to standing still in a siege mentality, drawing up the drawbridge and bringing down the shutters. Rather, it is to seek first. It is to strive. It is to go forward. How are you to spend 2022 seeking first the kingdom of God by drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, to practice faithfulness is not easy. But this I know, it is harder without fellowship. And therefore, you're to rejoice in the fellowship that you're given in the local church. You're to enter into and engage in fellowship. You're to take time to not only show compassion for one another, but to work out that compassion, to nurture one another, to encourage one another. It's not easy to be faithful. It's not easy to seek first the kingdom of God when all the pressures of life are pushing in upon you and there's a temptation to distraction. But it's harder without fellowship, and it's easier with Christian fellowship. And it's harder without worship. Because when you don't worship, you do not see in the same way the greatness of God. In fact, when you hold back worship, you refuse to see the greatness of God. Now, worship is not simply singing when everyone else sings. It's an attitude of life. And you're to worship God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means being taken up with a spirit of adoration and worshipping Him, praising His name in the quietness of your own home, in your own family, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, giving thanks unto God. When you give thanks unto God, when you worship God, you're reaffirming, you're declaring, and you're even seeing something of His greatness. You're feeling something of the weight of the greatness of God. And it puts the rest of life into context. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That word ye was an old word. We know that ye is for you. But it's not thee or thou. It's not the singular. It's the plural. Now our Lord is speaking here to a multitude. This is a Sermon on the Mount. So He's speaking to everyone. And He's speaking to all of you. But is it not also the case that we are to seek Him together? It's not only that each one of us are to seek Him, but we're to seek Him together. And that's what we have in fellowship. And that's what strengthens worship, when we worship and draw near and seek Him together. One of the best ways to learn is when you see the truth of the gospel worked out in someone's life. And maybe that's something that you can do for someone else, is to allow them to see the truth of the gospel worked out in your life. And as you join with them, you see the reality in them also. And maybe here you are struggling with a hard providence, you're struggling with a medical diagnosis, you're struggling with declining health. You're struggling because there's lots of things you cannot do that once you could do, and you're tempted to be anxious about tomorrow, and the distraction is pressing on, and what you require is devotion to pursue after Christ, because as you do so, others will see the reality of Christian experience. Here is a person, and there's all these reasons why they might give up, and they don't give up. Because they love Christ. What a testimony. What a sermon that would be. A more eloquent sermon. More compellingly preached. But never from the pulpit. Or not from the pulpit. But maybe in your kitchen. Maybe in your workplace. Maybe in your school. Not living with distraction, the anxiety of tomorrow, but rather living with devotion and living with dependence. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Do you know why we're to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Because the Lord will graciously give us our daily bread. And so we're to ask for what He will give us. Why? We're to ask for what he will give us, so that when we receive it, we will recognize it was given by him. And so our daily bread will be more to us than just bread. Our daily bread will be the gift of Almighty God. And that we will learn to trust him, who is faithful to provide for us day after day, in sickness and in health, in strength and in weakness, in youth and in old age. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." You're not to trust what's in your pocket or in your bank or in your cupboard, but you're to trust in God. You don't have to be secure about tomorrow for you to serve God today. You don't have to work out all the answers to life. You cannot work out all the answers to life. But rather, you're to be faithful. Faithful in the moment. Faithful now. If you were secure about all the affairs of life, that would make you a liability. That would lead you to arrogance and to pride. That would bring you into great trouble. We're not to live with distraction, but we're to live with devotion, and we're to live with dependence. Your lack of strength is no hindrance to him. Remember the words spoken through the prophet Zechariah, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And Paul exhorts the Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And one of the great weights that we need to lay aside is the weight of tomorrow, which presses down upon you. Of this coming week, this coming month, this coming year, all the uncertainty. Let us leave these things in the hands of our Father in heaven, and let us seek first his kingdom, that his name would be praised here upon earth. And let us do our part in advancing that great cause, through drawing near to him. As we come to worship together, as we fellowship together, as we pray, as we study his word, to better see and know who he is. Not that we would have simply an academic understanding, but that might work itself out in our lives, that we might live well. Friends, whatever 2022 holds for you, it certainly will not be what you've expected. That's always true, isn't it? Tomorrow is never the way we anticipated it would be. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think of Solomon. There's a wonderful example in Solomon at the beginning of his reign. And the Lord said to Solomon, the son of David, who was given the kingdom, he said, "Ask of me whatever you want, and I'll give it to you." What did Solomon ask for? Solomon asked for wisdom. Wisdom that he might serve faithfully the cause of God and the people of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 11, God said to Solomon, "Because this was in thine heart, that thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honour, nor the life of thine enemies, neither hast thou asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people, over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches, and wealth, and honour, such as none of the kings have had, that have been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee. You see, the Lord gave him. He sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the Lord added all these other things in an abundance. And so, friends, it will be for you. He will add in an abundance all necessary grace. He will add in abundance all that is required in this life. You may never have a full pocket. You may never have a full bank. You may never have full cupboards. But you'll have more and more of Christ. And if you have Christ, then you have all things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let's pray together.